Good morning, everybody. You guys awake this morning? Today is a very special day in America, isn't it? The High Holy Day of America, the Super Bowl. And I promise you, the game starts at 3:30, so don't worry about it. You'll get to the game. We were talking about this week. You know, in America, crime stops for 3 hours on a Sunday. And it's during the Super Bowl. It's an amazing phenomenon sociologically. Even the criminals take a break for 3 hours to watch the game. And, it'll be fun. So, stand with me because we're going to have an amazing topic this morning. And, we are going to be enlightened and encouraged and maybe in some ways blown away. We'll see. But you'll leave here going, wow. As always, God's Word and the Gospel, right? As we stand for the reading of the Word of the Living God. I want to read from Genesis chapter 15, verses 1 through 6, and then we're going to roll into Romans as we begin the topic this morning. But in Genesis chapter 15, 1 through 6, Abraham is known as the father of the monotheistic faiths, isn't he? It says, after this, the word of the Lord came to Abram in a vision. Do not be afraid, Abram. I am your shield, God says, your very great reward. But Abram said, Sovereign Lord, what can you give me since I remain childless, and the one who will inherit my estate is Eliezer of Damascus? And Abram said, you have given me no children, so a servant in my household will be my heir. The word of the Lord came to him, this man will not be your heir, but a son who is your own flesh and blood will be your heir. And he took him outside and said, look up at the sky and count the stars, if indeed you can count them. Then he said to him, so shall your offspring be. Abram believed the Lord, and he accredited it to him as righteousness. He believed. God says he's righteous. The Apostle Paul says in Romans 4, 1 through 5, what then shall we say that Abraham, our forefather, according to the flesh, discovered in this matter? If in fact Abram was justified by works, he had nothing to boast about. But not before God. He had something to boast about, but not before God. What does the scripture say? We just read it. Abraham believed God, and it was credited to him as righteousness. Now to the one who works, wages are not accredited as a gift, but as an obligation. You work for something, you get something. However, to the one who does not work, but trusts in God who justifies the ungodly, their faith is credited as righteousness. That is deep. Father, we come before you this morning in the name of your Son, Jesus. Lord, we've left our homes and we've come to this house, to this place of assembly, to this tent of meeting to meet with God today. We pray, Almighty, that you would fill this place with your presence, that you would send your angels charge concerning all of us, Lord. We ask, Lord, that you would touch our eyes that we might see. Touch our ears, Lord, that we might hear today what it is that the Almighty would speak into our hearts and our lives. We come, Lord, as people trying to understand. As our Rabbi Jesus says, seek and ask and knock, and it will be shown unto you. Lord, we seek, we ask, and we knock today. We pray this for the glory of the kingdom of Jesus and nothing else. And all those who love God would say, amen. And you may be seated. And you know it is. It's an amazing story. We open the book of Genesis. Abram is famous in Judaism, in Islam, and in Christianity. He's seen as the father of faith. And Abraham, as we read in the very beginning, God says that he chose him out of Ur, and Abraham followed God all the way into the modern day Israel, and he tells him that from you a great nation will be born, and from you all the nations in the earth will be blessed. And yet Abraham's like getting up there, man. He's like 100. And he's like, I have had no kids. And he's telling God about this. And I want you to think about it, because, and here's a picture of, can you imagine the day when God says, Abram, come here. Look. Do you see him? Look up. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. Your descendants will be as numerous as the stars in the sky. And it says, Abram looked up, and though he thinks this is completely biologically impossible, he says, I believe you. And God says, you're righteous. I believe you. And God says, you're righteous. And sure enough, as you know, all of a sudden, Abraham and Sarah had a son, didn't they? Does anyone know the kid's name? Isaac. Right? And Isaac had a kid. Does anyone know his name? Jacob. And Jacob had 12 sons. And do you know what those 12 sons represent? The 12 tribes of Israel. And we have in our sanctuary, we have on our the banners, and I call them the bookends of the Bible, because in Genesis, God says that Abraham, from your seed, one will be born that will bless all the nations of the world. That yes, the nation has been, I've created a nation in you, Abraham, but from your seed, or the seed of the Jewish people, one will come that will bless all the nations of the earth, right? That's in Genesis. And then we read in the last book of the scriptures, in the Old Testament, and the angels in heaven sing of the one, of the seed. And they sang a new song saying, you are worthy to take the scroll and to open its seals, because you were slain. And with your blood you purchased for God persons from every tribe and language and people and nation. You've made them to be a kingdom and priests to serve our God. The promise of Messiah. Abraham is the father of our faith. And from Abraham comes Yeshua, the Messiah, as the angel said to you, good news, I declare good news to you, shepherds, in the town of David. Good news of great joy for all people. For in the town of David, a Savior has been born to you, the Messiah, right? And Yeshua has come. Jesus has come. Welcome to the second week in a series that we're doing here at Woodbridge Community Church called What's the Difference? As we hold up the New Testament gospel of Jesus and begin to compare it to other religious belief systems, other religious thoughts, and we ask the question, what is the difference? What is the difference? And I have to say this. Last week, we talked about the gospel of Jesus. What is the gospel of Jesus? The essence of the gospel of Jesus. What is the good news of the gospel of Jesus? And once everything that we teach on will span from last week's teaching. If you didn't hear the message last week, please go online and listen to it. Because once we declare this is the gospel, the good news of Jesus, and then we begin comparing it to other religions, if you don't get what was said last week, you're going to miss it. You're going to miss it. Because we're building off of the gospel every week. I want to say this morning, just to be, as we begin, tolerance is not about agreeing with everything that another person says. To be tolerant means that you can admittedly disagree with another person and still be cordial. You can still be kind. You can still be respectful to one another. Do I hear an amen? Amen. See, my goal today in this series is to be cordial and kind, is to be respectful and to be clear. Because there's huge differences between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and every other belief system that we're going to be studying in this series. I have friends that are Muslims. I love Muslims. But I do not love the teaching of Islam, nor do I believe in the prophet of Islam. which builds upon the belief system of the Muslims, the Quran. See, I love them, but I don't love the teaching. How many of you have seen this bumper sticker? You guys see this bumper sticker? I agree. We coexist in tolerance, but not in truth. Do you understand? When you see these bumper stickers, they can't all be right. All the religions of the world can't be right. They can all be wrong, but they can't all be right, because they all say everything different, especially about where we go when we die, the most important topic of all. They're all different. We coexist in tolerance of respect, but not in truth. Are you with me? See, all of these can be wrong, but not all of these can be right. One of these can be right and the rest wrong, but they can't all be right. Tolerance is that we can agree to disagree and you still love and respect the other person, but you don't have to agree with everything they're saying. Are we on the same page this morning? Because this is so important. See, we're tolerant, but we're seeking truth. And let me say this. If you're here today and you're a Muslim, if you're here today and maybe you're a Muslim watching sometime online and you'll be watching this, we're glad that you're here. And we celebrate your spiritual journey in trying to understand other belief systems. And that's what we're trying to do. We're on the same journey. We are tolerant, but we're all seeking truth. Are we on the same page? Okay. I want to get that. So let's jump in. You ready? As you know, the reason why this church exists is to help people meet, know, and follow Jesus. Right? It's what we're here for. To know Jesus is to know His gospel. And the word gospel literally means good news. To know Jesus is to know the good news of who Jesus is and what He's done for us. Let me say it one more time. Here you go. To know Jesus is to know His gospel. To know the good news of what He has done for us. To mess with or to change the person of Jesus, or to mess with and change what He's done for us on the cross, is to mess with and change the gospel of the good news of what happens to us. And let me just say this. This is what happened 2,000 years ago as we read the New Testament book of Galatians. 2,000 years ago, as you know, there was a rabbi who was not a follower of Jesus and actually fought against the followers of Jesus, and in his journey became a believer in Jesus. And as he moved along, he became very one of Jesus' handpicked people to proclaim the gospel to the Roman world. And his Hebrew name is Saul, his Greek name's Paul. And the Apostle Paul, as he heard the gospel, the good news of Jesus, as he himself received it, he began spreading and telling people the good news of what Jesus has done. Of what Jesus has done on the cross. What did Jesus do on the cross for you? Is it said any better than in 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 17 through 21? Here's a quick review. What did Jesus do on the cross for us? Therefore, if anyone is in Messiah or Christ, the new creation has come. They're born again, as Jesus would say. The old has gone. The new is here. All this is from God, who reconciled us to Himself through the Messiah, through Christ, through Jesus. And He gives us, FYI, the ministry of reconciliation. That God was reconciling the world to Himself in the Messiah, not counting people's sins against them. That's my favorite one. Your sins are not counted against you because you've been forgiven from the cross. All your sins have been washed away, right? How much of your sins is not counted against you? Answer, all of them. All. Jesus on the cross said it is finished. Him paying for our sins is complete. And we've been reconciled to God, justified in God's sight. We've been born again, born anew, born from above. It's the greatest transaction that can ever take place in your life. And He has committed us to the message of reconciliation. We are therefore Christ's ambassadors, as though God was making His appeal through us. We implore you on Christ's behalf. Be reconciled to God. God made Him who had no sin to be sin for us, so that in Him we might become the righteousness of God. And how are we reconciled? How are we made righteous with God? Just like Abraham. When you hear the gospel of Jesus and what He did on the cross, and you say, I believe. Righteous. I believe what Jesus... It's not what Jesus did plus some religious work. It's not Jesus plus something that gets me into heaven. It's not Jesus. It's not Jesus' work on the cross, but you also have to do this and this and this and this, and then you get to go to heaven. It's not Jesus plus, it's Jesus completely. Right? That's the gospel. Bad news. As Paul went through the church of Galatia, he spread this message that we have here. People came behind Paul and said, Paul is of God, but he doesn't have Jesus' message just quite accurate enough, and you have to do Jesus plus something else, plus some religious work. And the people began listening to these other teachers. And when Paul heard about this, he was horrified that somebody had messed with the message of God, the message of the gospel of Jesus. And Paul picked up his pen and he wrote a letter that is probably one of the most controversial, contentious, angry letters that you'll find in tone in the New Testament from the apostle. Paul writes back and says, not true. Not true. The good news of the gospel of Jesus, He died for all your sins on the cross once for all, and by receiving this by faith, you're saved. Jesus plus nothing. Say it with me this morning on the count of three. One, two, three. Jesus plus nothing. If you tell people that it's Jesus plus some work, you're actually subtracting from the work He did on the cross for you. If you say it's Jesus plus some religious work, you're actually diminishing His work that He did on the cross, and in the process you change and twist the gospel of Jesus. It's counterfeit money. So this morning, before we enter in Galatians chapter 1, because this is very, it relates to our topic today. Galatians chapter 1, 6 through 12. The Apostle Paul, after greeting the church in Galatia, he says these words. He says, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning for a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. There isn't good news in what people have been telling you. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion. They're trying to pervert or distort the gospel of Jesus. But now hear this. But if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel contrary or other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. He says it twice. Translation, because this is serious. Paul says, am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ. Where did Paul get his information? From who? That's pretty good authority, right? He ends this by saying, I'm not trying to please men, but God. He ends here saying, I know that I'm ruffling your feathers, and I know that I'm causing some controversy, and Paul says, I don't care, because this is important. This is the gospel. It's Jesus and what He did on the cross for you plus nothing. And Paul says that even if he or an angel comes down to you or to me and preaches a different gospel, adds to the gospel, let that angel be accursed. If any man comes to you and preaches a different gospel, Jesus plus something, let that messenger be accursed. And I just want to say this. Those are heavy words. The Greek word is anathema, meaning dedicated for destruction. It's a very intense word. Dedicated for destruction. Paul says that if an angel or a man come and preaches another gospel other than the one that he gave, may that person be separated from God forever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever and ever. Do you feel the intensity of the Apostle Paul on this matter? Jesus plus nothing. Faith in Christ alone. If you change, if you add or subtract, you're messing with it. It's a counterfeit. It's a big deal. With that said and done, what is the difference between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and Islam? 550 some years after the Apostle Paul wrote these words in the New Testament book of Galatians, according to Islam, an angel did come to earth and give another gospel. According to Islam, the angel Gabriel came to a man named Muhammad in 610 AD and tells Muhammad that what the Christians believe is wrong and that Jesus didn't die on the cross for people's sins, and they still need to do certain religious works to be made right with God, which is called the five pillars of Islam. This morning, I'm going to read from the Quran that I purchased in 2002. So in 2002, after 9/11, I had to try to get my brain around what people were thinking that flew those planes. And Pastor Frank is the kind of guy, I don't want someone to tell me, I want to read it for myself. That's how I became a follower of Jesus. I picked up the Gospels and read it myself. Don't tell me what Christians believe, I'll figure it out. I'm going to read primary information. So I went down to Barnes & Noble and I bought this Quran. I'm going to be reading to you from the Quran today. And we're going to be shooting up the verses as well, but what does Islam say? We're going to start with surah. So let me say this. In Islam, there's chapters. They call them surahs. Okay? Surah. And I want to read to you today from surah chapter 4, verses 157 and 158. And as I read it, now, the Quran was written in Arabic, and I don't read Arabic. My translation is in English. And it's kind of in an old English, almost like a King James version. But this is what it says. And it says, "And because of their sayings, we slew the Messiah, Jesus, son of Mary, Allah's messenger. They slew him not, nor crucified, but it appeared so unto them." Did you get that? "And lo, those who disagree concerning it are in doubt thereof. They have no knowledge, therefore, save pursuit of a conjecture. They slew him not for certain, but Allah took him up to himself. Allah was ever mighty and wise." Allah is the Arabic name for God. Did you just catch that? See, Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sins. Translation, you're still in them. And they're still being counted against you. You are not reconciled to God. Bad news, right? If you're going to take notes with me this morning, and I would encourage you to do so, take out a pencil and paper, you can write this down. What is the difference between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and Islam? And here's the first one. It's a biggie. It's huge. In Islamic teaching, Jesus didn't die for your sins on the cross and you're not reconciled to God. That's Surah chapter 4, 157 and 158. FYI. Write that down. And you can... Here's note number two, which is important. In Islamic teachings, you need to work off your sins through religious activity. Now I want to read Surah 23. Verses 101 to 104. Listen to this. And when the trumpet is blown, there will be no kinship among them that day. That means you're not going to be with anybody else on the day of judgment. Nor will they ask of one another. Then those whose scales are heavy, they are the successful. And those whose scales are light are those who lose their souls in hell abiding. The fire burneth their faces and they are glum therein. In Islamic teaching, there's scales of good deeds and bad deeds. And Allah, the God of Islam, is watching. His angels are taking count of every good and bad deed that you do. And someday, when you die, the scales of justice will be given to you. And if your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds, you get to go to heaven. And if not, you go to hell. Here's a side note of note number two. I called it A. Write this down. In heaven, there are scales where the God of Islam is measuring your good deeds against your bad deeds. It's works. You work. In Islam, there's angelic beings watching you, and they're taking record of everything you do and say. And you hope that your good deeds outweigh your bad deeds. I hope I'm a good person that Allah will let me in. Works. What are the good works of Islam? Does anyone know? What are the good works of Islam that you have to do to be made right before God? You have to practice what's called the five pillars of Islam. Has anyone heard this before? The five pillars of Islam. And by the way, I just want to say the word Islam means submit. Submit to God is Islam. The five pillars of Islam. Does anyone know what they are? Anyone? You can take notes of me this morning. There's five pillars. This is the five pillars. You read any religion, book on religions, when you read Islam on the chapter, it'll walk you immediately. This is what a Muslim has to do. Number one, a repetition of the creed of Islam, that is, there is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. This is the creed of Islam. There is no God but Allah, and Muhammad is the messenger of Allah. These are the first words a Muslim child hears, and most probably the last words uttered by a dying Muslim. To say this in faith is to become a Muslim. I guess for us as a Christian, it's like say this prayer to receive Christ. But they say this all the time. Repetition of the creed of Islam. If you go online and listen to the cockpit recordings of 9/11 in the planes, you can hear the terrorists saying this creed over and over again as they were flying their planes to their targets. Number two, second pillar of Islam, write this down, the giving of alms, the giving of money. You have to give money. Charity is mandatory in Islam. And it's taxed, I understand, between 2.5 and 10% of one's wealth. Third pillar of Islam, you have to pray five times a day toward Mecca. You have to pray five times a day toward Mecca. At dawn, at midday, at the mid-afternoon, at sunset, and at nightfall. These are prescribed prayers that are uttered after a Muslim has washed his hands, his feet, and his face. Fourth pillar of Islam. In honor of when Muhammad first received his revelations from the angel Gabriel, Muslims are called to fast during the month of Ramadan. From sunrise to sunset, all Muslims are called to fast from all food, drink, smoking, and relationships with the opposite sex. And lastly, five pillars of Islam, you're to make a pilgrimage to Mecca once in your life, if you can do it. There's a pilgrimage, the five pillars of Islam. If you do these things at the end of your life, hopefully your good deeds of these things will outweigh your bad deeds and Allah will let you into heaven. Are you promised in Islam that if you do these things you get to go to heaven? Answer? No. But only if you do them enough to outweigh your bad. And you won't know that until you die. That's the scales. Are you with me? That's the scales. Take notes with me this morning. Note number three. In Islamic teaching, the way you're promised heaven is if you die for Allah. And I want to read you Surah chapter 9. It's somewhat 9:111. People ask, is that why they attacked on 9/11? Because in Surah 9:111, I don't think so, but let me read this to you. And listen carefully. Lo, Allah has bought from the believers their lives and their wealth, because the garden will be theirs. That's heaven. They shall fight in the way of Allah and shall slay and be slain. It is a promise which is binding on him in the Torah and in the Gospel. In the Quran and in the mind of Muhammad, he saw that the Jews were blessed people because God had given them a revelation, Moses and Torah. The Christians had been given a revelation with the prophet Jesus, but their teachings are skewed, and thus this is the new prophet, Muhammad. We're called people of the book. It's interesting, I don't know where he quotes the law and the gospel, and yet if you read them, I can't figure out what he's saying, but that's okay. Doesn't matter. Anyway. Lo, Allah has bought from the believers their lives. He's bought from the believers their lives and their wealth, because the garden will be theirs. They shall fight in the way of Allah and shall slay and be slain. It is a promise in which is binding on him in the Torah and in the Gospel and the Quran. Who fighteth his covenant better, who fulfilleth his covenant better than Allah. So I guess these are the covenants. Well, this is Allah's covenant to you. Rejoice then in your bargain that you have made, for that is the supreme triumph. Did you read that? The garden, the garden, paradise is promised to who? Those who slay and have been slain for Allah. Let me read Surah 3:157 as well. Interesting. And what though ye be slain in Allah's way or die therein? Surely pardon, circle that word, surely pardon from Allah and mercy are better than all that they amass. And what though ye be slain in Allah's way or die therein? Surely pardon, did you get that? Pardon from Allah and mercy are better than all that you've amassed in this world. This is the theology of jihad, if you've heard the terminology before. You die for Allah in a holy war, you're pardoned, and the scales tip in your favor. Are you with me? Note number four. In Islamic teaching, you're promised a pardon for your sins by dying for Allah. See, for me personally, I figured out finally what those people were thinking as I read the Quran that I purchased in 2002. I remember reading this and going, I get it. I understand. And I'm convinced that this is the theology of what these people was going on in their minds as they were flying the planes to their targets that day. But I need to say this morning. On 9/11, there were many moderate Muslims that were horrified and embarrassed in what happened on the world stage. As in all religions, there's a complexity in theology of when and where and how verses are to be applied. How do you interpret the text? A Muslim has the same challenge as we Christians. How do we now, here's the text, interpret the text. And that is the same challenge that Muslims have in their religious book as all of us do, called hermeneutics or interpretation. And there are many that didn't follow Osama bin Laden's interpretation of the text that Allah was saying that America was the great Satan and we attack and in the ways of Allah. And then obviously many people believed in that and followed Osama, but there were many moderates that were horrified at that, and they didn't interpret that at all. And so behold, this is the challenge. It's in the text, and for them now they have to interpret what that means. Just like for us Christians, if you read the Old Testament, there's a lot of violence in that. Yes, there is, and now how do we interpret that? I get it. But hey man, there's a difference. Jesus never told his followers to go kill somebody in his name, and by doing so, you're promised heaven. Jesus never said that. Do you see the difference this morning? There's a slight difference. What's the difference between the New Testament gospel of Jesus and Islam? Is the difference small or great? It's huge. It's huge. Take notes with me this morning. Note number five. In the New Testament, Gospel of Jesus, you're promised a pardon for your sins by God coming to earth and dying for your sins on the cross. For God so loves the world, He gave His only begotten Son, that whoever believeth upon Him shall not perish. Belief. Abraham, I believe you. I believe. Righteous. Not works, it's belief. There's a difference. And I love 1 John 3, or 5:13. I write these things to you who believe in the name of the Son of God so that you may know that you have eternal life. I know. How do I know? How? Jesus and what He did on the cross. Sins forgiven, not counted against you. Jesus, people, is the one that tips the scales in your favor. Not by your works, but by your belief in His work on the cross. Please, somebody say amen. Do you understand? This is huge. It's a huge difference. See, I know that I have eternal life because of what Jesus has promised me. I have security in the work that He did for me on the cross. Not my work, but His. It's a big difference. It's a big difference. The Apostle Paul said 550 years before Islam was even conceived to watch out for an angel if he comes and preaches another gospel. He says, let that angel be accursed. According to Islam, an angel did come and gave a message and created a whole new religion through Muhammad the prophet. does Islam change the gospel? You know what? Note number six. The Islamic religion doesn't add to the gospel of Jesus, but eliminates it. Did you catch that? Muhammad doesn't say, yeah, Messiah died on the cross and it's that plus some work. What he says is, it never happened. It doesn't add to the gospel of Jesus, it eliminates the gospel of Jesus. See, Jesus didn't die on the cross for your sins, you're still in your sins. And they're still counted against you and you need to work them off through some moral effort. Islam is a works-based religion in the purest sense. They're two different things. All religions are the same. When someone tells me that, I had a professor in college tell me all religions are the same. And I looked at him, I said, that's just not true. Are you ignorant? Or are you just lying? If anyone studies, and that's our quest, we're going to look at the gospel of Jesus and what is the difference. Because there are huge differences. If you have the scales of good deeds outweigh the bad deeds, how good do you have to be in order for God to let you into heaven? Jesus, the Sermon on the Mount, be ye perfect as your Father in heaven is perfect. Perfection, moral perfection is the standard of the scale. Anything outside of that, you are left wanting, and God being holy cannot be in your presence unless you are made holy yourself. And what the Holy One does is He comes to earth, pays your price on the cross, and He takes your sin upon you and in the transition gives you His holiness so you're made holy. Not based on what you did, but what on He has done for you on your behalf. Moral perfection. See, good people don't go to heaven. Perfect people do. Do you know any? Morally perfect people. For everyone else that's out there, I've got great news. Jesus has great news for all the less than morally perfect people in the world. It's the gospel. It's the gospel. God, Jesus takes away our sins, pays our debt so we don't have to. It's the good news. It's the good news. All religions are, I work my way to God through some moral effort. Islam, I work my way to God through the five pillars of Islam, trying to do my good works, trying to live and hopefully when I die, Allah will let me in and my good deeds outweigh my bad. I hope I make it. In the gospel, God in His love and mercy and grace has worked His way down to you through His Son, the Messiah, who He prophesied in Genesis. All the nations will be blessed through Him. He comes to bless the world. The angel said, I come to bring you good news of great joy for all people, for you in the town of David. The Messiah, Savior, has been born. Merry Christmas. And He comes and does His great work for us. It's a huge difference. The gospel is rooted in love. Religions are rooted in fear. Fear. I was blessed a while ago by reading a book called Son of Hamas. This is an awesome book. I actually heard the speaker when he finally made it to America, and he was under incredible security when he came and spoke. His dad was one of the five founders of the Hamas organization. It's a militant Islamic terrorist organization, according to the State Department, that runs Gaza today. His dad was one of the five founders. Yosef one day was in Jerusalem at the Damascus Gate and a missionary from England gave him a New Testament gospel in Arabic and he gave it to him and he picked it up and read it. And as he began reading the gospel of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John, as he began reading Jesus, he began being completely taken in his own words by the difference between the teachings of Muhammad that he's grown up with his whole life and reading Jesus. He was taken how Jesus says, he who lives by the sword will die by the sword and put away your sword. He was completely blown away on the cross when Jesus even there says, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And as he in his own journey began reading this, he began saying, Jesus is a morally superior prophet to Muhammad, and he was still on his journey of dealing with the man's deity. But he in his own mind said, I'm going to be a disciple or a follower of Jesus. and not Muhammad. And he did it quietly. And things began to happen in this poor guy's life. Because what are you supposed to do when you know that a person is going to go blow themselves up on Ben Yehuda Street tomorrow at noon for the purpose of dying for Allah and in the process kill as many people as they can? If you knew this was going to happen, as a follower of Jesus, what would you do? And he says, I didn't want that person to go die. And I don't want him to go kill these people. Jesus wouldn't want this person to blow themselves up. Jesus would not want all these people to die. And this guy was in a really tough spot. And he ended up calling the Israeli intelligence and anonymously said, somebody's going to come and do this. And the Israelis were there and stopped it. And they're like, who called us? And he kept saving people's lives because he had knowledge. As he was, he says, because I'm a disciple of Jesus. And he ended up becoming the informant. They think he saved hundreds of lives, thousands of lives. Why? Because he's a follower of Jesus. It's a great book. It was great to hear him speak. He's a marked man. His own father wants him dead. If you're looking for books to read, there's an amazing book out called Searching or Seeking Allah, Finding Jesus. This is an amazing book that I would encourage you. Is this man, a Muslim, seeking Allah and yet doing the same thing, finding Christ, and the incredible differences between the two. When I began reading Islam and understanding Islam, it made me feel compassion for Muslims in their faith that they have that has no peace. And they work and they work and they work and they work. And they hope that their work is good enough on the scales. As I began reading this, and I see, and I have Muslim friends, and we have great talks. I have compassion for them because I have peace in Christ that they'll never understand. What would Jesus say to a Muslim today? You know what I believe he'd say? The same thing he said in Matthew chapter 11 as he renounced the cities of Capernaum and Chorazin and Bethsaida and the people in northern Galilee that had not, you know, come under his authority. And as he renounced them, he renounced the people that wouldn't walk away from their religion. Religious, Jesus is speaking to radically religious people when he says, come unto me, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. You that are heavy and weary laden in religion, trying to work your way up to be accepted by God, as in Judaism, which we're going to be studying in a couple weeks. Come unto me, Yeshua says, all you that are weary and heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke of authority upon your life as a disciple. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me, for I am gentle and humble in heart, and I will give you rest for your souls. Rest for your souls. Do you hear what that means? Rest for your souls. My yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Why? He's done all the heavy work on the cross, friends. You come to, Jesus says, you come to me. All you that are weary in religion and works and fear, and I, God so loves the world, he gave me unto you. And I'm going to go and pay for your debts on a cross. How much? How much of your sin will not be counted against you, Christian, follower of Jesus? All. How about the one you do tomorrow? One last night? You should still confess him. You realize that every time you do something, his blood drips for you? That bothers me. Man, when I blow it, it's not like I have license. Whenever I'm doing something, I know, man, Lord, I think of Jesus, the blood that covers me constantly. This is now called a relationship with God. I'm not in a religion. I'm in a relationship. God, Jesus says, my disciples, I'm your friend. No greater love than this, the one would lay down his friend. The greatest commandment is to love the Lord your God with all your heart and soul and mind and strength. To love God back the way he's loved you. This is it. It's a completely different dynamic. In the New Testament gospel, you have a Savior. You don't have scales of good and bad deeds because he pays for them all by his blood and you're forgiven. It's Jesus plus
nothing.
How many people? Four? Oh, wait, let me do it again. It's Jesus plus
nothing.
That's the gospel. And it's called good news. It's called good news. It's not by our good deeds, but by his. It's not our righteousness, but his. It's not our works, but his and what he did on the cross. And I'll end with this last verse. You should all have this one memorized, right? For it is by grace you've been saved through faith. And this not from yourselves. It's a gift of God, not a result of, so that no one can boast. It's not your work that gets you into heaven. It is by grace that you've been saved through faith. Just like Abraham. Abraham, you see that? That's what I'm going to do. He says, I believe you. You're righteous. You believe me? Righteous. For God so loved the world, he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes will not perish and have everlasting. Is this amazing or what? Does anyone love Jesus? Because you swim in this, you can't help but love him. You can't help but love him. Do I hear an amen? So we are blessed here at this Jesus community called Woodbridge Community Church. And we're blessed in many ways, and one of them is our brother Hamid. Hamid and his family have been in our Jesus community for a long time, and many of you know his story. Hamid was raised in Islam, was raised in that religion, and his brother shared the good news of the gospel with him. And he soon believed in his family, and for a while, Hamid was running an underground church in Iran until he was arrested and thrown in jail by the Iranian police. And he was told that you either recant or we're going to kill you. And he didn't. And after a while, they finally let him out, but he was stripped of his wealth, his money, and he's a religious refugee. I look at him as my brother in Christ, okay? He's a religious refugee that lives in our city. And he is a huge gift to this Jesus community. We are praying for God to send us someone that could help us with the Iranian population here and those that are asking questions. And Hamid has an amazing ministry here. I sent him my sermon and he walked me through it. Is this right? Is this good? Oh, and he, you know, his English is getting better. I asked Hamid to come up and pray a blessing over us. And by the way, if you have questions about Islam, you should email him because he was born and raised in it. So Hamid, would you come? And can we give a brother an applause?
Thank you.
Would you pray a blessing over us?
Good morning, everybody. Good morning, church. I want to speak with you something in English,
please.
And then
sure.
I pray in Farsi. Because I know most people in the world don't know about Islam. And maybe some people believe wrong things
right.
About Islam and Muslim people. Because it's too... These two things is so different, so separate. And how Islam come to world, how Islam come to Middle East and around the Middle East, and who come mm-hmm. Islam.
Yeah.
It's so important to know about that. If you want to know, I can help everybody, and My email is in the church. You can email me and I answer in the time. And we need to pray for Muslim people.
Amen.
Because the Islam created with men. And I know about that. After I believe Jesus, I read so many books about Islam, and after that I believe Jesus, Islam created with man, no God.
Yeah, it wasn't and an angel Gabriel, it was man-made, so you're
yes,
saying?
Yes, man-made.
Yeah,
and how about Quran, who write this, and how many times it changed?
Yes.
And Muslim don't know about that. If you encourage for know something about Islam, I can help everybody. And Pastor Frank asked me about pray in Farsi. We believe God. God know every language and understand
every nation, tribe, and tongue. Yes.
So I ask everybody, please pray for Muslim people that God touch their hearts.
Amen.
Okay, I pray in Farsi. خداوند شکرت میکنم به خاطر نجات عظیمی که خداوند تو به ما دادی، به خاطر فدیه بزرگی که خودت خداوند به روی زمین اومدی و این نجات عظیم را از گناهان ما خداوند برای ما مقدور فرمودی. شکرت میکنم به خاطر این که خداوند تو خودت رو به ما شناسوندی تا ما بتونیم در اراده تو و در خواست تو بتونیم زندگی کنیم. خداوند را شکرت میکنم برای این کلیسا که خداوند تو ما رو هدایت کردی تا به اینجا بیایم و در خانواده الهی تو خداوند شریک بشیم. میخواهم از سوی خداوند که قلبهای اعضای این کلیسا رو لمس کنید، دعا بکنم برای مسلمانانی که خداوند به قوت سیاست و به قوت شیطان خداوند این باور غیر خدایی رو باور کردن و در اون گرفتار شدن. خداوند میخوام که دستان پرقوت تو خداوند کمک کنه تا خداوند آشکار بشه آنچه حقیقت هست برای مسلمین، باشد تا نجات رو برای تک تک مسلمین خداوند مهیا سازی، چنان که برای ما مهیا کردی. و طلب برکت و پیروزی و شادی و آرامش دارم برای تک تک اعضای این کلیسا و مسلمینی که در حال حاضر در جفا هستند و به دور از آگاهی از راستی و درستی و قدوسیت تو. در نام عیسی مسیح طلبیدم. آمین.
آمین. آمین. Thank you, Hamid. We're going to have the worship team come up as we close with a song. And we were trying to think what would be the right song to close. And we thought, let's sing the one we just sang again. There is a truth older than the ages. There was a one. There's a difference between this Jesus and the one that you read in your Gospels. So let's stand as we close.
Thank you, Pastor Frank. This is who we worship, Jesus.
Amen.